next sugi we are going to do is Shalosh Nashim Mishamshos B'moch. So the Gemara was talking about Yesh Beger Bekever versus Ein Beger Bekever and gave a few nafkaminas. So the first nafkamina was, if we hold Yesh Beger Bekever, she becomes a bogeres. While she's dead, the knas will go to her, but since she's dead, it will go to her children. So the Gemara then rejects that nafkamina because it says, what do you mean? She can't have children. Why? And the Gemara goes through a whole meh thing, basically showing how she is not able to possibly have children. Why, though? Gemara brings up a sugya with Rav Bibi. It says, "Valtani Rav Bibi kamei Rav Nachman, shalosh noshim mishamshos b'moch." There are three women who use a moch. We didn't say should or anything yet. All we said is that they use a moch. Eguhein katana umeuberes umenika. So a katana, a meuberes, and a menika. A child, someone who's pregnant, and someone who's nursing. Katana, why do they use a moch? Shema tesabe v'tamos. We're afraid that if they get pregnant, they are going to die. We're worried something's going to happen to the baby. And minika shema tigmol espina. Good. So we see that a girl has to use a moch. A katana has to use a moch because we're afraid something's going to happen to her, so she's not going to have a child. So a moch for our purposes right now is just some sort of blockage that's going to prevent pregnancy. That's what we're going to assume right now, and we will get into this a little bit more later. So Gemara then comes and brings this machlokes within this sugya of the moch. And it says, Rabbi Meir says they have to use this moch because of the dangers that it comes and brings. But Chachamim omrim achas zu v'achas zu mishameshes kedarka. You have to use, don't know mochs for anyone. Why? V'holeches u'min ha-shamayim yirachamu. Because we have to believe in Hashem, and Hashem's going to protect you. Mishim shenemar shomer pesayim Hashem. Pasuk says shomer pesayim Hashem. So you cannot use a moch. So even though we hold like the Chachamim, we are going to understand Rabbi Meir for a while. Because through understanding Rabbi Meir and why you're allowed to use a moch in certain situations, even though in these specific situations we may not hold like Rabbi Meir, we may be able to find cases that can potentially be where even the Chachamim would agree we'd be allowed to use a moch. So let's learn a little bit about what Rabbi Meir is saying. So Rabbi Meir said these women should use a moch. What's going on? Comes Rashi and says, Misham shos b'moch, mutter lahen l'shamesh b'moch, ve'enon kimashkiso zera. Comes Rashi and says, even though hashchasa zera is something which is usser, and it's generally usser, you're not allowed to do this, you're not allowed to use a moch generally, these specific women have a heter to use the moch. It seems to be saying that the danger associated with possibly getting pregnant override this isser of hashchasa zera. So there's an isser of moch. To use a moch is an isser. It's an isser of hashchasa zera. Yet we have a heter because of the danger at hand. We have a heter. Okay? So that's Shitas Rashi. Comes Rabbeinu Tam, and Rabbeinu Tam says, Rashi, this doesn't really make any sense. Why? Because this using a moch is not hashchasa zera. What Rashi's assuming that any time there's any sort of bia without the possibility of getting pregnant, it's going to be hashchasa zera. But Tosu says, that can't be. What about having bia with an eyewitness? What about having bia with a katana? We know these things are allowed in certain situations. Obviously, in the right situation, they're allowed. So we see that that's not considered hashchasa zera, so that's not hashchasa zera, so it doesn't make any sense. You can't tell me that there's an isser of hashchasa zera, and now a moch is being matir, we're being matir the moch for sakana purposes, because this is no act of hashchasa zera, this is not such a problem, as we know from Ayonis and Katana. There's a normal maisabia. When there's a normal maisabia, there's not going to be any hashchasa zera. So the starting point is really that a moch mutter. Really, a moch is mutter, and we're going to have to explain what's going to be the problem. So we'll get back to that in a second. So that's the question of Rabbeinu Tam on Rashi. So far we just had the sugya. We had Rashi said that there's an isra of hashchasa zera, and these women are allowed to use it. They have a heter because of sakana. And Rabbeinu Tam says, what isra are you talking about? There's no isra. They're doing a normal maisabia. So what's going on? So Tosus in Yevamis actually spells out this kasha of Rabbeinu Tam and makes it a lot stronger. He says, Mimonafshach. What's the case that we're talking about? If we're talking about moch kodem tashmish, if we're talking about something that you're doing before tashmish and is there to prevent the penetration, so that's like being mochi zera levatala, and that's going to be usher for everyone, even these three women. So what, right? So we can't be talking about a moch kodem tashmish. And if you're going to say we're talking about a moch achar tashmish, so then it should be mutter, because that's just like a ilonis and katana where there's normal maisabia. So what is this isser according to you, Rashi? And because of this issue, Rabbeinu Tam had to learn a different pshat in the Gemara. So, whereas Rashi said there's an isser and these women have a heter, so Rabbeinu Tam said really everyone's allowed to use a moch It's just that these women need to use a moch. Whether it's an Eitzah Tova or a Chiyuv Machlokes, fine. But these women specifically need to use a moch. So this is a very fundamentally different way of reading the Gemara. So we have Shalosh Nashim Mishamshos B'moch. So how do we explain that? So Rashi says there's an Isser Hashchasa Zera V'heter Sakana. Right, these three women have a heter sakana, and that's why they're allowed to do it. Comes Tosos, well, Rabbeinu Tam, and says, no, there's a heter l'chol ha'olam, but these three, tzarichim to use. Oh, gosh,
there you go, that's what I was thinking.
But, yeah.
That's right.
Right? But they have to use it, and we said there's machogs and tosos whether it's a chiyah for them to use it or whether it's just an eitzah tova. But we see that this is a very wildly, vastly different way of reading. And Rabbeinu Tam in Yevamos showed us, he asks a mimanavshach question on Rashi. Mimanavshach, if you're talking about a moch kodem tashmish, it's usher for everyone. And if you're talking about a moch achar tashmish, then it's mutter. So what's the case? So that's the major machogs in the sugya, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Clear? Yeah, okay, good. So let's go on. What is that?
Saying whether they could or shouldn't.
Right, whether they could because there's a heter. Generally it's usser, but there's a heter. Or whether it's mutter for everyone and they have to. So it really comes down to what's the isser of Hashchasa Zera, which we are going to see. So comes the Ri, and the Ri defends Rashi on both fronts. The Ri says we can defend him. The Ri. He says, one, if kodem tashmish, and two is achar tashmish. So he comes to defend Rashi on both fronts, and we're going to go one at a time just to see how he defends him. So he doesn't explicitly say this thing about kodem tashmish, but before this is what he meant from the fact that he tried to defend him kodem tashmish, which what we're about to say. So the Ri comes and says we can defend Rashi kodem tashmish. It's fine. What was the question of Rabbeinu Tam? Rabbeinu Tam said kodem tashmish. That's usher for everyone. That's just like being hotzah zera levatela. That's basically going al etzim va'anav va'avonim. Right? It's mashle zera levatela. You can't possibly say that kodem tashmish is going to be allowed for anyone. So comes Tosus Rid. Tosus Rid says, Tosus Rid Yevamos on daf, yud beiz, amud beiz. He says, ezehu maise er va'unan. So first of all, just a little background. We know that hotzah zera levatela and ashchas zera is an iser. Doesn't explicitly say it in the Torah, but we know from Erva Unan. The story with Yehuda and Tamar, right? So Tamar was married to her sons first, to his sons first, and they kept dying, and the Torah tells us why they died, because they, I forgot what's the Lashon of the Pasuk. The Torah tells us that there were some Hashchas Zera issues. The Torah doesn't necessarily, well, tells us why, kind of. We know that we know one of them did it so that she wouldn't become pregnant. Our heir did it because he didn't want to ruin her beauty. And Onan did it because some mystical Yibum stuff that he didn't want to have heir's kid that would really be heir. The Ramban al-Torah already says it's one of the Sodos of the Torah. So we're not going to ask too much into that. But they clearly had the intentions of being Mashal Zer el-Vatala. So Tosus Rid says, Ezehu Maisa Erva Onan. What's a Maisa Erva Onan? That's Aster Shastra Torah. Kol Shekavanaso. So how's the first answer? So kodem tashmish, we have Tosus Rid. Tosus Rid explains that no, you Rabbeinu Tam thought that it's usher for everyone when it's kodem tashmish, but that's not true, because over here, it's only usher kodem tashmish. Hotzar zera levatela is only usher when there's kavana to make it levatela. When it's kavana to avoid pregnancy. However, over here, we're just trying to avoid sakana. What do you want from us? These three women, like, there's a mitzvah zona. They just don't want to die. They don't want their children to die. So they're allowed to do this. This is not the correct kavana for a maisa erva onan, so there's no iser. So really, it's possible to have a case of moch kodem tashmish, and then the Gemara really could read. And if Moshe says a similar thing, that hotzah zer levatala is only when it's mamish levatala. But if we have a situation where there's some sort of tzorech, like their lives are on the line, then that would be allowed. So that's how we can defend moch kodem tashmish. So this is a pretty groundbreaking shot. This is pretty incredible to say that everything's based on kavana. If it's kavana for there's some sort of tzorech, if there's a reason why one's being motzi zera, then it's not going to be an iser. But if not, then there will be nisar. Maisa erva unan was only when there was specific kavana to prevent pregnancy. So they need to bring a makor for this. That's a very interesting shot to say, but you have to bring a makor. So the makor for this tos was written of Moshe. So we gave a few possibilities. One was from the Gemara Nivamo says that during the nursing period, which we assume is 24 months, it's dangerous to get pregnant. So Rabbi Elazar says they could be dash mi bifnim v'zora mi bachutz. Everyone knows what that means? Yeah? Okay, good. So, yeah, thank you for that. Appreciate that. So he says you can do that. So the Chacham disagree and say, what do you mean? That's my Se'er Vonan. How could that be? So Rav Moshe proves from the Hava Mina of Rabbi Elazar, that from Rabbi Eliezer, that maybe we see that if it's Letzorech, it's allowed. Goes into a whole proof with that. That's okay. We're going to go focus on the second proof and the second Makor of Rav Moshe. Gemara Nivamos, that's the Nivamos on Daf Lama Dalar Mabez, brings a Machlokes as to what exactly Erva Onan did that was so bad. What they do that warranted this Misa? So, the Gemara says, has a machlokas. One shita says they were dashmi b'nim mizor mi'bachutz, and the other shita says they had bia shalo kidarka. So, Tosos asks the question on the second shita. You're going to tell me that bia shalo kidarka is what they did to get themselves killed, and that was what the terrible isser was. There's a Gemara Nadarim that has a story with the woman went to the rabbi and whatever it was, and basically clearly implies that it's mutter. So we clearly see that bia shalo kidarka is going to be mutter. So why are you telling me that's what happened? Like, that's what caused them to die. So is it mutter or usher? What's the deal with bia shalo kidarka? So comes Tosus and gives two possible answers for this. He quotes the Rihu, gives two possible answers to this question. So the first answer is that the Gemara Nadarim, which said that bia shalo kidarka is mutter, was talking about a case where there was no hotza zera. Maybe they it didn't end up in being hotza zera, so that's why it's going to be mutter, as opposed to the other case by erva unan, where it did end in hotza zera, that's where it was usher. That's the first answer. The second answer is very interesting. The second answer says that bia shalo kidarka is only an issue when it's done all the time. But if it's done once in a while for taiva, then it's not such a big deal. That's what the Gemara Nadarim was talking about, to do it once in a while, like when it's only done for taiva, like once in a while, then it's fine. But erva unan was a constant thing, so that was a problem. What? What does that mean? Right? That doesn't make any sense. I'm feeling I want to violate Shabbos today, so like I don't do it every week. I don't do it every second. I just want to do it now. I want to eat this cheeseburger. What kind of concept is this? That you, if you do something sometimes for taiva, then it's okay. But if you do it consistently, that's not okay. Doesn't make any sense. So what's going on? So comes Rav Moshe and he says, this answer of the Ri is a proof to our Yesod. The Ri was clearly holding any times there's some sort of tzorech, it's going to be allowed. And the only time there's an isser is when there's kavana to be mashka zera to prevent pregnancy. When someone has a taiva to have bia shalo kidarka, fine, once in a while, it's not the biggest deal. That's already a tzorech, there's mitzvah zona, whatever it is. Just taiva might be enough of a tzorech. The only issue really comes in when you're trying to be mashka zera to avoid pregnancy. Erva Onan did this all the time because they didn't want to ruin her beauty. They didn't want to have this kid. They wanted to avoid pregnancy. That's going to be a problem. But over here, it's not going to be such a problem if you're doing it sometimes just for taiva. Once you're doing it all the time, that's already, we're going to question your motives. Your motives are probably something to do with not wanting to have a child, so that's already going to be a problem. But once in a while, might be okay. So again, Rav Moshe just shows that there are Rishonim who seem, and even Tanaim and Amoraim, who seem to be subscribing to this Yisod of whenever there's some sort of tzorech, it's not such an issue. And the only issue comes in when there's actually kavana to be Masa Zera Levatala being the key word, that there's no tzorech, and it's just for the sake of not having a child. So, regardless, all of these cases which we have seen, we don't seem to passim like them in the Gemara. So Rav Moshe seems to have a nice Yisod, but his proofs don't seem to be proofs. However, he proves from our Gemara, right, we're talking within Rebbe Meir, and the Chachamim seem to disagree. But he shows, the Chachamim only disagreed because of Shomer Pesayim Hashem. The Chachamim said, it's not such a risk. We're not so worried about these three women, Akitana, Muber, Sumenekes, we're not so worried about them. Shomer Pesayim Hashem. But if we created a case where we would be worried about them, something like high blood pressure, diabetes, some other illness, whatever it is, I don't know if those are actually things to give a head to for, as I said in the beginning, not halacha maisa anyway for me. You guys can ask whoever you want, but not for me to answer. So, but if we can come up with a case which would be dangerous, maybe even the Chachamim would agree, and everyone would agree to this Yisod of Rav Moshe. So Just a quick side point, just Shomer Pesayim Hashem of the Chachamim, this is like the makor for the sugya of risks. You're allowed to put yourselves in situations, you don't have to be worried about everything, but there are certain times where, we, based on what Rav Moshe is saying, that even the Chachamim would agree that you're being stupid. There's a difference between taking risks and being stupid. So, that means different things for different people, and whatever it is, so jumping out of a plane, I don't know. Skiing, could be. Whatever it is, so that's, again, something, don't ask me, and ask your rabbi. Fine, very good. So that's how we defended Rashi Kodem Tashmish. So right, Rabbeinu Tam came and asked a question. Rabbeinu Tam asked, Osir L'chol Ha'olam. And we answered with the Tosas Rid and Rav Moshe. So just to sum up again what we have here. We have Shalosh Nashim Misham Shos B'moch. So we have a machlokes and how to understand that. Comes Rashi and says there's an Isser, but these women have a Heter. Comes Rabbeinu Tam and says, no, everyone's really allowed to use a Moch. It's talking about Moch Achar Tashmish. Everyone's really allowed to, but these three women have to use it. So we said Tosas, Rabbeinu Tam asked a Miman of Shachan Rashi, if we're talking about Moch Kodem Tashmish, it's usher for everyone. What does it mean these three women have a heter? Why would they have a heter? It's usher. And if we're talking about moch achar tashmish, then it's mutter for everyone. We know bias katan and bias ailonis is allowed. So what's going on? So first the Ri came and defended him with moch kodem tashmish. It wasn't necessarily the Ri, but Tosas Rid and Rav Moshe explained, what does it mean? How could it possibly be mutter for these women to have moch kodem tashmish? It should be usher for everyone. So no, they explained it's only usher when there's the wrong kavana. They said whenever there's some sort of tzorech, then it would be allowed. And these three women have a tzorech and the heter sakana, so that's why there's no iser of hotzazar levatela with a moch kodem tashmish, and it could still be allowed. We're good? So that's how they defended kodem tashmish. Now we're going to have to understand how he explains moch achar tashmish. Right? So Rabbeinu Tam said, I don't understand, it should be mutter. Moch achar tashmish is mutter for everyone. So how does your pshat in the Gemara read that there's an iser and that they have a heter, if we're talking about a moch achar tashmish, because that should be mutter for everyone, as we know from bias katan and bias ailonis. And he brought a further proof, said Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam said, we know that women are not usher in hashkasa zera because they're not chayiv in pru revu. And since they're not chayiv in pru revu, then there's no chiyuv. Meaning, don't tell me that it's an isser for the man because the man's doing a normal maisabia. So it's definitely not an isser for the man. If you're going to come and try to tell me that it's an isser for the woman, then there's no isser for the woman because the woman's not chayiv in pru revu. So what's going on? Right? So achar tashmish, Rabbeinu Tam, this question on Rashi. So again, Rashi says there's an isser and a heter going on. I mean, there should be an isser and then we have a heter. So Rabbeinu Tam is saying, if we're talking about a moch achar tashmish, there should never be an isser. It should always be mutter. Why? Because for the man, it's mutter because it's derech bia, normal bia, so that's going to be allowed. And for the woman, it's going to be allowed because eina chayeves b'pru revu. So this seems to be strong kasha on Rashi. How could the case possibly be moch achar tashmish if there's no isser to be seen here? What could possibly be the isser? So there are two ways to approach this. This equation of a woman with eina chayeves b'pru revu, either we could show that that might be true but irrelevant, or we could show that it's not necessarily true. And if we could show those, either of those things, we could show how there really would be an isser on the woman, and then Rashi could make sense. So let's see what we got here. So we have a Gilyon HaTosos in Nida. It's just a smaller print under the normal Tosos in Nida and that Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. And he says, V'od nehi nami delo mifkadu apirya verivya lahashk lezera hokshu leish lecholon jin Shabbat Torah. So he says, you're right. Even though women are not chayiv in pru revu, they're still an isser of hashkos hazera. Hashkos hazera is an isser lav. And women are chayiv in all lavim in the Torah. Pru revu is a mitzvah to say, whatever, for whatever reason, they're not going to be chayiv. But just because they're not chayiv in pru revu does not necessarily tell me anything about them not being mutter on hashkos hazera. So that's the first way to answer. So we have the Gilyon Tosus. Oh, no, that's the second answer. We'll get there. Gilyon Tosus is true but irrelevant. TBI. Yeah?
I'm just saying, yeah. How is it that the women are commanded to be low, by the lab of the professors there? How is that?
I mean, they're not allowed to destroy Zera, even if it's from the men. They're not allowed to destroy Zera.
But they're not destroying it.
Well, no, if they're using a moch, then they're the ones destroying it.
So we're saying...
We're saying
this... It would be an Isser Daraisa for her also.
Right. Okay. I think that's what we're assuming in this pshat. Comes the ritva, and this is what I think you were talking about. The ritva gives a different pshat. The ritva says, V'halda aminan shalosh nashim misham shos b'moch pirsh rashi... Good. And then he says, Kolmar, di afagav di isisa lo mifgida a peri verivya, even though they're not chayiv in puravu, asura lahashkli zera bala. So he says, even though she's not chayiv in puravu, she's still usher to be maskless the zera of the husband. What does this mean? Meaning, what you were saying, there still might be an intrinsic isra on her being maskless zera in general. Here, the ritva specifically says it's talking about her husband zera. So what's going on here? So comes the Avnei Nezer and Evan Ezer Simon Ayin Tess, and he says it could be that the pshat on this ritva is totally on Iran and Kedushin on Daf Tes Zayin Amid Beis. Gemara is discussing the klal of mitzvah bo yoser min hash mi bishlucho and says that the chassan should be going to the wedding because a chassan should go to his wedding because, first of all, mitzvah bo yoser mi shlucho, and second of all, maybe he's never seen her before and shemit is nagin abala, fine. Gemara then says a woman should also be going to the wedding. The question is, what mitzvah does she have to go to the wedding? What's going on here? So what's her mitzvah? So comes the Ran and explains. He answers that even though a woman's not chayev, again, this is assuming the Rambam and the Rush, whether Kedushin is actually a mitzvah. So the Rambam says Kedushin is a mitzvah, the Rush says it's not, it's just a hechsher for Pur Revu. So assuming, even if it's a hechsher for Pur Revu, even if it's just a hechsher, it's Pur Revu, so a man, it makes sense why he's going to be chayev, because he's chayev in Pur Revu, so it's a hechsher. So why would a woman be chayev to go to her own wedding if she's not chayev in Pur Revu? So the Ran says, even though she's not the one necessarily that's chayev, she's like a misayeya to him in terms of Pur Revu. Either physically, we know that's true, or like Hashem created the world with the intent of her being a misayeya to him, so we know that she's a misayeya to him, so really she is kind of involved in the mitzvah of Pur Revu, which would then ruin this equation, because she is chayevus in Pur Revu to an extent, so that's the second way to understand. So ritva, with the help of the Avnei Nezer, really isn't mutar b'Pur Revu. Alright, so let's just summarize what we have one more time. I know we've been doing that a lot, but I think that's important. Shalosh Rashi Misham Shos B'moch. Rashi says that there's an Isser and there's a Heter Sakana, and Rabbi Natam says if it's before Tashmish, then there's an Isser for everyone. It makes no sense. And if it's Achar Tashmish, there's no Isser for anyone. So rather, we're talking about a case of Achar Tashmish where there's no Isser. But what it's saying is that these women have to use a moch because we're worried about Sakana. So the Ri came and defended Rashi on both points. First, Kodim Tashmish, so the Rabbeinu Tam asked again, it should be Usser for everyone. So we answered that using Tosafot Ritten of Moshe, that no, it's not really necessarily Usser for everyone. If there's a Tzorech, it could be Mutter, and these women have a Tzorech. That's what our Gemara is talking about. And when we said Achar Tashmish, Rabbeinu Tam said, what Isser is there? If we're talking about for the man, it's normal Maisa Bia, it's Derech Bia. And if we're talking about for the woman, a woman's not going to be Chayiv in Ashkas Zerah because they're not Chayiv in Pur Revu. So we showed there are two ways to approach that. Either the Gilyan Atosu said that's true but irrelevant, I don't care that they're not Chayiv in Pur Revu, they're still going to be over an Isser of Ashkas Zerah. Or the Ritva, with the help of the Avnei Nezer, seems to be saying that, no, really they are Chayiv in Pur Revu, so there would be an Isser of Ashkas Zerah, and those are the ways to defend Rashi. So now we need to go and analyze this equation again with Pru Urvu with a woman. Are they chayev in Pru Urvu at all? That's the worst handwriting I've ever had. I don't know what's going on there. But I hope you guys can read it. Can you read that? You know what it says. Good. So is a woman going to be chayev in Pru Urvu? So we had a few possible proofs, but we're just going to focus on one for now, which is that of the Tozar Rush. The Tosafot Rosh and Nida on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph has an interesting kasha on Rabbeinu Tam. He says, if Rabbeinu Tam is right that Hashchasa Zera, that the Isra of Hashchasa Zera is really Toli on Pru Revu, so once a man fulfills his chiv of Pru Revu, has one boy and one girl, so does that mean that there's no more Isra of Hashchasa Zera? They can do whatever they want after they have one boy and one girl? I don't understand. How does that make any sense? That can't be true. So if that can't be true, then Rabbeinu Tam is wrong, because Rabbeinu Tam said it's an equation. We have Pru Revu and Hashchas Zera. So I made the wrong equation here. We have Pru Urevu and Hashchas Zera. So if Rabbeinu Tam is right that this equation is absolute, then a man, once he's fulfilled his chiyuv, will never have any more Isser of Ashkal Zazera. That can't be. So it must be Rabbeinu Tam is wrong. So the Tosfos Rosh answers this kasha. And he says, no. When we say a man has fulfilled his chiyuv of Pru Urvu, that just means he's fulfilled his chiyuv of Pru Urvu Milwarta Ukavikav Shua. It just means he's fulfilled that part of populating the land. But there's another aspect to the mitzvah. The Gemara learns from a pasuk in Goheles, which is Baboker Zera Zarecho Erev Al Tanach Yadecha, that there's a mitzvah to continue having kids even after you've already had kids. So for the man, there's still a continued mitzvah, so there's no more kasha. Okay? We got that? The kasha was there's no more mitzvah for a man, so a man can do whatever he wants. The answer is no, there is a continued mitzvah for the man of Al Tanach Yadecha, Baboker Zera Zarecha, Erev Tanach Yadecha. So what comes out from Tosfos Rosh is very fascinating. That it comes out that this secondary mitzvah of continuing to have kids is a kiyum deoraisa of Pru Urvu, and it also is enough of a deoraisa to create an Isra of Ashkal Zazera. So it comes out that that's a very important thing. So what was the Havamina and the Maskana of the Tosfos Rosh? The Havamina of the Tosfos Rosh was that a woman is equal to a man who's already fulfilled his chiyuv. And the answer, the maskana, is that no, a man, even after he's fulfilled his chiyuv, has an added chiyuv to continue having kids, but a woman never has any chiyuv at all. So, we then spoke about the practical applications of all this, with the pills and the condoms and the spermicide and diaphragm, all that stuff. So, we can talk about that later if you want. We're not going to deal with that right now. Anyone have any questions on the sugya?
Responding to if a woman is
chayavis
and
proved,
and he came out saying she is not.
But Tosfos HaRosh asked a question. No, he was asking on this equation of Rabbeinu Tam.
Okay.